Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fire, 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 fire. Like, he shut up in my bones. Fire. You know, you just imagine when you think about that, it won't be no more water, but it'll be fire.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus returns, it's going to be some fire. The days of fire, where when you think about what fire does, man, fire can cause problems for some, and fire can also be a benefit to things. Because you look at it, all the glass that's made, it takes some fire to heat up, you know, to melt that glass down and everything to create, you know, the glass or whatever. Fire can cook you a good meal. Oh, man. Ooh. It has a lot of benefits, and then it can be very detrimental as well. Fire can be dangerous. Fire can take you out. It can. But knowing that the fire is coming to cleanse, and that's the fire that I'm talking about tonight, the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of us, our minds are so diluted with things that need to be burned. We got thoughts that need to be burned and brought to ashes. We got It's about the mental. It's really about the mental. I can really sense the spirit wants to talk about the mental, the mind. You know, the scripture, when it talks about, let this mind be in you. That's also in Christ Jesus. You know, you actually said, why would the Bible say that? You know, because the scripture is deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
God is deliberate in his instructions. So he tells us to let this mind be in you. Like he was talking about the mind. Let this mind. Like, he was identifying with the mind that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
He didn't say let a mind similar to Jesus. Let a mind some like, you know. No, he says, this mind be in you. So what type of mind did Jesus have? What type of mind did Jesus have? Jesus had a mind that was all about his Father's business. He was about his Father's business. He was minding God's business. His mind was on the task at hand about God's business. He didn't get caught up in the world. He taught us how to be in this world and not of it. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. He taught us how to deal with things financially. Let this mind be in you. This mind taught you how to draw. This mind was connected to healing. This mind had had the mind to build the faith to even go to the cross. Have faith in God. That's the mind. So we really need to really govern our minds, especially in the times to come, because a lot of people are literally going to be losing their mind.
Oh yeah.
And so I want us honestly to lose our minds. Get rid of all your stinking thinking. Lose that old mind. Lose it. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Burn it up. That limited thinking. That poverty thinking. That defeated thinking. That fearful thinking. Throw that mind away. And open up tonight and say, Lord, I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. I thank you that I'm beginning to think like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have commercials on TV. They used to always show the importance of things. We've gone away from a lot of the foundation that were connected and built on our spiritual beliefs. There was a commercial to come on where there was a skillet and had a little oil and a little butter or something. And they said, this is drugs. Then they threw an egg in there and said, this is your brain on drugs. Any questions? That's where we are when we live in total opposition of what God says.
Mm-hmm. And remember, even there was an organization that had a slogan that said, it's a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. I was heading that way. You reeled me on in early. She said, get on home now. I'm turning the corner, baby. I'm turning that corner. Yeah, that was my next point, but thank you, baby, for bringing that up. But, yeah, that was the time, it goes back to our foundation, where we had other things, like Lisa just said, you know, the mind is a terrible, terrible thing to wear. And our mind is like being on drugs. The drugs of fear, the drugs of doubt, the addiction. Because we can be addicted to unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
We can be addicted to mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
We can be addicted to worldly living. We can be addicted to doubt. Addicted to the conspiracy theories. We can be addicted to gossip. Addicted to shopping. Addicted to working. You can be addicted to sleep. Food. An addiction is an addiction. But I tell this man, get it. You're going to be addicted, man. Get addicted to trying to see it and do it the way Jesus did it. Get addicted to being better. Get addicted to walking in faith. Get addicted to knowing who God is. Get addicted about the unconditional love of God. Get addicted to sharing the truth. To cultivating your relationship and nurturing your relationship with the true and living God. The one true and living God. But I thank God for us being here tonight. He had me go there before we got started. But welcome. We are here. Welcome to the show. We're 15 minutes in. I was just telling my wife before we got started. I said, let's go and get started a little early tonight. We're going to play one song because I wanted to give her more air time tonight. So without further ado, I am one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. And today is, I don't even know today's date.
12.
Yep, today's October the 12th, 2022. It's 7:16 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we are excited to be here and to add to Terrence about the mind. You know, I'm pretty sure plenty of you have people that you even deal with that you know their mind is not right. And you see the result of their mind not being right. Mm-hmm. And why do they have the results that they do? Well, the Word of God tells us about that in Romans 8:6. I'm going to read it out of Amplified. Now, the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever. Now, let's go to 7. It says, the mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses cannot please God. Mm. So the mind of the flesh is dead. Anything dead can't produce, right? Because we live to produce. Everything we do is about seed time and harvest. The Word of God says, as the earth remains, shall there be seed time and harvest, which means that there's always going to be production. So production is a characteristic of life. So if something is dead, it can't produce. Mm-hmm. And that's what we all seek, right? We reproduce, right? When we have children, when we go to work and we do our work, it's called production, right? We produce a meal. When we cook a food, we produce a meal. Right? We everything we do is producing something. Everything that we do. So if you have a mind of the flesh and it's death, you're unable to produce. And so sometimes you might not always have a fleshly mind. Sometimes your mind needs to be renewed in certain areas, but that's why you're not producing in that area. Because the mental is dead. Mm-hmm. And what's dead, it says, the mind of the flesh with its sinful pursuits is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law since it cannot. It can't. Okay? And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. So even when your mind in certain areas, fleshly, it's not pleasing to God because it cannot even submit to God's law.
Right.
And it's hostile.
Right.
To God's law. So somebody tell you something like, hey, that's not nice, that, you know, they get all mad. Why are you hostile? Because you got a fleshly thinking in that particular area. That's why you hostile. Because if I'm telling you something that's godly, if I'm telling you something that produces life, if I'm telling you something that lines up to the Word and you get mad, why are you hostile?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. So we have to be mindful of the mind that we possess. Because, listen, let's read this again, Romans 8:6. Now the mind of the flesh is dead both now and forever because it pursues sin, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever. It's peace. A lot of people mixed up in their mind ain't got no peace.
Mm.
Why they ain't got no peace? Because they don't have the mind of the Spirit. See, God's Word, it gives us instructions. It tells us even entitlements. And in order for you to know the entitlements, you got to read the manual. Just like you'll apply for a job and it gives you like a little breakdown. You know, it says what the salary is. It says, you know, it usually says great benefits. They don't break down the benefit. They say great benefits. You know, that, and then when you get to the company, they usually give you like either back of the day, and I'm dating myself, they would give you an employee handbook. Nowadays, everything's online. And one of the online section is benefits. And it teaches you how to utilize said benefits. Now, the Word of God promises that we can have a peace that surpasses understanding, right? But it doesn't say right then and there how to obtain that peace. Well, Romans 8:6 is telling us how we can obtain that peace of our mind. Mm-hmm. Because where does peace come from? You can't have peace in your left toe. You can't have peace in your pancreas. Peace comes from your mental. Mm-hmm. That's where peace is the seed of peace is, and where the harvest of peace produces in the mind. People say, this is going on, but I have peace. All the chaos is going on, but I have peace. Why do they have peace? It's in the mind. So again, now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. Mm-hmm. So if you want the peace that surpasses understanding, and you're like, well, how does one obtain the peace that surpasses understanding? You have to have the mind of the spirit, because it's life and it's peace. Let's read that. Let's do a compare, right? Because, you know, the Amplified takes words, but some words can't be translated word for word. You have to break it down further to get the understanding of what that word means, right? So people, come on, nerds, people who understand translation of different languages from one language to another language, understand that. And so that's why I love the Amplified, because some things you can't just do word for word. It has to be broken down to get a true understanding of what does that phrase or word mean. Okay. So let's read King James, because that's my sweetheart's favorite. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So even when we don't have the breakdown of the Amplified, the King James gets straight to the point. Mm-hmm. Carnal mind is death. Death is what it is. Death means it's the opposite of life. And if one says, well, what do they mean by death? I'm so glad you asked, because it gives a contrast. See, it says, for to be carnally minded is death. But, okay, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that means that the opposite of death, according to the scripture, is life and peace. So you cannot have a death mind and want the peace that surpasses understanding. They are in direct opposition, because the word is telling us how we get that peace is to be spiritually minded. And so, well, how do I be spiritually minded? Jesus told us, let that mind that be in Christ Jesus be in you. Well, what's the mind that's in Christ Jesus? Read the word. And you'll see Jesus operated in the spirit. And you have the same capability. Every day is a fight. Every day you die daily. What are you dying to daily? I know you don't think that you wake up dead and Jesus comes down and resurrects you every day. No, you're dying to flesh daily. The word says, choose you this day who you will serve. You make a decision for Christ, but you could be serving the devil on a day-to-day basis. It's not a one and done. Well, I chose Jesus, so all the decisions I make now are holy and sanctified. Lie. And you know people think that? People think just because they are a believer of Christ that everything is okay with the things that they do. They feel justified because they're a believer in Christ. No, you got to still put the work in to have the benefits. Because you can get the job and not benefit from it and not have the benefits. You can just get the job and produce at the job and get the pay and not access none of the benefits. That's why you see even believers being, some of them miserable, and some of them have no peace in their mind. Have no peace, always wondering what's going on, and it's because their mind ain't right. Death thinking is death. And sometimes you have to really have that honest talk with yourself to say, am I thinking life or am I thinking death? Because if I'm thinking death, not only is it tormenting me, right? Because the opposite of peace is what? Torment. But it's not producing. I'm literally expending energy to something that is causing me torment and will not produce. So there's absolutely no benefit. Mm-hmm. Come on, farmers. If you are a farmer and you know how to farm, like Terrence and I are going to start planting things in our backyard, right? One of the first things that you learn about farming or planting things is about soil. Why? Because the seed goes into the soil, goes into the dirt. And you want your dirt and your soil to be the right conditions to do what? Produce. Yeah. Farmers don't spend their time getting the soil ready, cultivating it, spreading seed to say, you know what I want? It not to produce. They're not expending that energy. They're not getting up early. They're not ensuring that the conditions are optimum so that it doesn't produce. So that's the first thing. You want to make sure the ground is good. Because if the ground is good and the ground has life-producing capabilities, then whatever you put in it is going to reap a harvest. So we have to start thinking about that with our mind. Come on, I'm preaching to myself too. If I want something to produce, why would I put it in dead ground? It won't produce. You are spinning your wheels. You are a hamster in a cage going nowhere fast if you have dead fleshly thoughts in certain areas, but yet you want it to produce. That is literally insane. It makes absolutely no sense. It is like going to a farmer and he lamenting to you, oh my God, I just can't grow anything, but my ground is dead. And you'd be like, you would say that dude was crazy. If a farmer came to you just crying boo-hoo in his eyes, like, oh my God, I can't grow, but my ground is dead and I keep putting seed in it and I keep, you know, tilling it and watering it, but the ground is dead and yet I'm not getting a harvest. You'd be like, excuse me? So you know it's dead, but yet here you are waking up early, watering it and cultivating it and tilling it, doing all these things, even though you know the ground is dead. And then you are actually shocked, surprised, and devastated that you are not producing a harvest, even though you know that in order to produce a harvest, the land has to be healthy and alive. But yet here you are knowing it's dead and still wondering, lamenting, crying that it's not producing. But that's what we be doing. Come on, but us. It's very much giving a man had only one sheep, and the man came and took the man one sheep that had a whole bunch of sheep, and David said, what bring him to me? How dare him? That's what it's giving. It's you. I'm giving you the answer some of you are seeking tonight, myself included. It's the mental. It's not the devil. It's the mental. It's dead. It's not going to produce. Like Tara said, stinking thinking. Because your whole mind, if you study the brain, right, study the mind, there's different lobes. And when you have certain emotions and stuff, different parts of the brain light up and different parts of the mind areas come from one part and another one could come from another part and that kind of thing. If you really study the brain and study the mind and how the mind thinks, even if you get to psychology, it teaches you about the way thoughts form and how they form and all the lobes of the brain and all that kind of stuff. So you can have parts of your brain dead. And some could be completely healthy. And there's even processes where your brain will carry matter from the live part to the dead part called functional plasticity. And don't ask me how I know that. But the mind is very intricate on the way that it functions. So please know that you can have some thoughts, healthy thoughts in one area, and you can have some completely dead, unproductive thoughts in another area, and it's not going to produce. Sometimes, some of you got some dead thoughts in relationships because Big Mama done told you this is how you do it, or you're following after the world. It's dead. It's flesh. It's not going to produce. It's in opposition to God. So then when somebody tells you, oh, no, you could be celibate and wait on God to, and you start getting hostile. Why? Why are you so hostile? When they ain't telling you no lies and they're telling you what the word says, why are you getting mad? Because that part of your thinking is in direct opposition of God's word and it's hostile. That's why when you be acting all funky and stank to your coworker and you know that you ain't supposed to be acting like that, somebody says, you know what, you should show them something. I'm not going to show them that. Why are you so hostile? Because you got dead thinking in that particular area. When somebody pulls you to the side and says your kid's cutting up because you don't spank your kids, and I'm not talking about spanking them in anger or abusing them or leaving marks. I'm talking about you sparing that. I got this because psychology says gentle parenting, and I put them in corners. Why are you hostile? Because you got dead thinking in that particular area and you're not producing because it's producing death. That's why your kid's cutting up and they act like they're from the pits of hell because it's dead. That's why your relationships don't go nowhere. They don't flow because they are dead, because the thinking is not going to produce. That's why your coworker and you are never going to get along, because you want to be petty and do, you know, toe-to-toe, and if you come for me and I'm going to do this, that, and the other, because the thinking is dead. It's not going to produce. We got to get our mind right. What does God say about that? How does God say to deal with that? What would Jesus do for real? Not just a bumper sticker or something cute on your shirt. What would he do? And do that. Because guess what? When you have that dead thinking, this is my life. Remember, I was not raised in church. I was raised with some very worldly. So when I was trying to switch up, a lot of the times that flesh was screaming. It wasn't like, oh, okay, we're going to, no, it was, why was it screaming? Because it was hostile. So it would hurt for me to do things the right way. It would hurt for me to let stuff, what I thought my mind, slide. It would hurt for me to take the high road. It would hurt for me because I was so dead. I was so dead in my ways, dead in my thinking. And it was hostile, but I submitted. Just because it's hostile don't mean that you can't change that. What areas are you hostile in? Somebody giving you the word and you get mad. And then you don't even question, why am I mad? What am I mad about? That person ain't told me no lie. That person told me pure word. Here I am upset. They ain't even giving me no opinion. They gave me the chapter and verse, and here I am mad. Why am I hostile? Why am I mad? You need to start questioning yourself. You need to start getting to know you. Because you confront that to people, oh, no, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm the type of person, I have no poker face. Somebody could say something, and my face is going to give it away, and parents will know what's up. If he's around, he'll be like, oh, you didn't like that, because my face, I don't have a poker face. And I can lie and say, oh, no, I'm fine. But I know. So you got to know you to know when something is upsetting you, and ask yourself, why am I upset? Especially when somebody's giving you some good, sound, godly wisdom, and you mad. Why? Why am I mad? Why am I hostile? Is this a dead thinking area? And I'm trying to hold on to it? Because you can hold on to it if you want to, but it's dead. It's not going to produce. That's why you got people been dealing with the same stuff 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. It's the thinking. And they blame everybody but their thoughts. Let's renew our minds tonight. Let's pray and then let's answer callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're so grateful, so honored that you see it all fit to be in this day. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your teaching. God, I thank you. Thank you, Father God. Help us, Lord, to identify the areas of our life that we have dead thinking, because we want peace in all areas of our life. We want peace in our mind concerning every area. Help us to turn it over to you and to submit to the spirit and not the flesh. Because we want to be pleasing to you in every area of our life, and it starts with the mind. Everything starts with the mind. Everything develops in the mind first. So help us to be pleasing to you, Father God, by submitting our mind to the spirit.
Yeah.
And choosing to die to the flesh daily. And even when we get it wrong, to say, you know what, I got that wrong, but I don't have to keep getting it wrong. I change my mind. Help us, Lord, to speak that. All the areas that I have had dead and death thinking, Lord, tonight I change my mind. Yeah. I don't have to keep thinking like that. Just like that. I have the power to change my mind and to walk and to think and put on the spiritual mind, to put that mind that be in Christ Jesus in me. I have the power to do that, and I submit to that tonight so I can produce, so I can have life in every area, life in my mind to produce the things of the spirit, to be pleasing to you, oh God. I thank you for it, Lord. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that ministered to me.
That's a good word. The mind is definitely. Satan is definitely trying to sabotage our thoughts and get us to agree with what he's saying. And that's the battle. It's it's a battle every day. It's a battle every day. So we have to really, really be focused and really be intentional. Really be intentional on the mind, the thoughts of a rambling mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get into prayer. Let's start it up.
Let's do it. First caller is 619.
Shalom, shalom.
Hey,
Lisa from. Yeah. I got my old phone number back after so long. I finally, I got it back. So this is my old number, but I just got it the other day. So shalom, mi gente. I was talking about you yesterday, Tanisha. And you've been blessing me when I wasn't able to call in for the to the show for a while. Phone would let me. Yeah, because even the Wi-Fi number that I had, it stopped letting me. It wouldn't let me. But anyway, when I did listen to you, which was only like last week, I think, and maybe the week before, but you were, girl, you too, Terrence, don't. But I just love both y'all. I think the one time it was Terrence and then the one time it was you. I think Terrence was sick the one week. And then, I don't know, but y'all was blessing me. Y'all was blessing me. Let me tell you, y'all was blessing me. The one time I used somebody's phone and the other time I was at a hotel. So, but y'all be, oh, I just love y'all's ministry. And then I was telling Prophet Randy how you are in sync. You and I always noticed that you... I haven't been on the show like all of September, right? Mm-hmm. And so I missed all that. And I was asking Prophet Randy about the Antichrist for like, I don't know, a couple years, but he would never answer me or whatever. Like I would just send him the name. And anyway, I found out that the day the Queen died, you had texted him. And I just noticed that throughout the years, multiple times, several times, you would be speaking on stuff that he would end up speaking on.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all would be speaking on Wednesday or Sunday, and then Prophet Randy would hit it that same Monday or that same Wednesday. And I was just like, wow, y'all so in sync with each other. And I know that it was, I just know it's the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's just it's such a blessing. And I forget what y'all was talking about the last couple of weeks, but it was hitting me, yo. It was like I didn't even have to talk to y'all. You know what I mean? Like I was just getting the word of the Lord, and it was just hitting me. Like it was like, wow, it was hitting me where I needed it to be hit. And then when you would talk to the other callers, you know, it would bless me. It would just bless me, you know, because I remember when I used to have to call in every day and get in line. And, you know, I remember where I came from. And now I would like to, but when I don't get in line or whatever, when I don't get a chance to, you know, be picked up, I guess is the word.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like a blessing to hear the ministry go forth to the saints, to the sisters and, you know, the brothers too. But I just think it's just amazing how God works through the prophetic ministry and how I never get tired of listening to y'all flow, you know. It's just beautiful. And it's so pure and powerful. And like I said, I've been saying this for, you know, a couple of times. I've been around a lot of, you know, ministers a lot. And a lot of Christendom. I'm sick of Christianity. I can't take it no more. I'm tired of it. But I love the Lord and His kingdom. So I just love y'all. So God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you.
Overflow. Overflow, overflow.
Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Tonight.
I'm going to mute you real quick.
We thank you for the your joy, like the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we find ourselves looking for strength, which the scriptures talk about, the joy of the Lord is the strength. And it ties into when he says when we are weak, he's made strong. It's just that when we really humble ourselves and surrender, to surrender it, we understand how we find so much joy in the Lord when we're focusing on him and not the issues at hand, not the irritants, not the things. Cause, I mean, just so focused and easily like distracted. Easily being distracted and not even knowing it. You know, it's very easy for us to get distracted and not even know it. Or even to the point to where we look at it as if it's nothing, because that's how when we continue to be easily distracted, it becomes like second nature. We just kind of don't have focus.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we be practicing. When we practice distractions, we become good at being distracted. But when we practice controlling distractions and calling distractions out and putting things in their place, then we begin to see ourselves winning in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the plan of God for our lives is when you know what to do, do it continually. We have to be consistent in knowing what we know to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it is. It's nothing for us to know to do something and then don't do it. That's just good information. I know a lot of things about stuff that literally ain't benefiting me, but I know about it. But the thing is, once we come into the knowledge of God, everything benefits us. Everything benefits us. Because of his love for us. And so we just thank God for his joy. His joy continuing to strengthen you. Finding joy in just knowing that you got the answer. Like, I don't care where you land in life, you'll never be lost. You'll never be without. Because we have to hold God to his word. And we hold God to his word by having faith in it. It's one thing to know something. It's like having a contract where if somebody don't pay you, you know, you have a contract in place that will deem the terms and the conditions. And we will have clauses in there that if somebody defaults on these terms and conditions, these are the actions and these are the things that we could take. These are the things that we can do. Now, all of that is on paper. But here we are in real life, right? We got the contract and it's a legal binding document which can be enforced. But if we either don't know what the contract says, or we know what it says, but then don't pursue it, or then don't follow through on it, we can't get mad if somebody defaults. Because that's what the contract is for. That's what those terms and conditions and stuff is for those particular things. And so if we don't use it, we can't be mad at nobody. And that's how it is with the word of God. You know, we got things that God had, like, literally had for us. But if we don't activate our faith, we're not enforcing the word. God said his word will not go out and return to him void. So if that's what he says, if God is giving you a word, guess what? It ain't going back unaccomplished. That word is still waiting on us. There's so many words that have been spoken that we've yet to cash in on because we failed to have faith for it. Mm-hmm. We tend to allow our circumstances to control our situation. We allow our circumstances to then set a standard in our life. But that's just the way it is. It's just how I am. I can't help it. You know, but the devil is a lie. Like, we can overcome in and everything because he's already overcome the world. So the work we have to do ain't hard. We make it hard. We make a lot of things difficult. Why? Because that's what we're thinking. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Oh, I ain't never done this before. This can't be easy. I ain't got the education. I ain't got the resources. You know, in life, we be quick to always talk about what can't first. You said, I'm telling you, you go talk to 5 people, 10 people right now. I guarantee you that if it's an issue in their life, I guarantee you that they will talk about that issue more than they will spend the time on what the solution is. Because a lot of times we want to talk about problems trying to convince ourselves that we ain't part of it. But then sometimes things just happen in our lives that God allows to drive us to a place. We have to really, really not make it so much about us when it comes down to his will being done. Because it's God's will over everything. God's will over everything. His word over everything. What he said over everything. Everything. Because he's the creator of all. What creation taking out the creator? So we just thank God for your strength. We thank God for your obedience. We thank God for your circle. We thank God for his peace flowing freely in your life. Going freely, because there's so much work to be done, Lisa. There's so much for us to do, and we don't need to be so hard on ourselves. We just need to believe the word of God, and that's it. Simple, very simple. So we thank God for the simplicity of his word and his love being so simple and yet so real, so valuable, irreplaceable. We just thank God for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you right now. Felisa, Father God, we thank you for her seeing the patience paying off, that even in the natural, some plants, some harvests they all don't grow at the same speed. It takes longer for some things to produce. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not working and it's not developing and it's not growing. It just takes more time. And I thank you, Father God, that she's going to see the production of her patience. That she's not digging up her seed. That she's allowing it the time to that's needed for that particular harvest to produce. But it's going to produce. So I thank you, Father God, that she continues to walk in patience and faith. And that she will see the harvest. She will see the prophecies come to pass. So we thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We're just going to get to the next caller because I didn't realize it took that much time. All right. So we're going to get to the next one.
Who took
me? I said me. 903-918. I didn't realize I took that much
time. Oh, I thought you took the one. Oh, I didn't know.
Not you. I
don't know.
903-918, who are we speaking with?
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Hey, Michelle.
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing good.
Good, good. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for Michelle tonight, Father God. We thank you for purpose being defined. I see God really revealing to you what your true purpose is, or what your call is, what God has assigned your hands to do here in the earth. And we just thank God for their revelation. We thank God for revealing that to you. We thank God for the people that he has set up for you to help nurture those giftings, to help assist you in your assignment and in your purpose. Everything, you don't have to be overwhelmed with trying to figure it out, because they're the only perfect thing in you is the Spirit of God. That's it. The Holy Spirit is perfect. Spirit of God is perfect. And that's what will teach you all things. But you will error. You will make mistakes. But don't try to avoid those particular things a lot of times, because sometimes God will have you taking a step so that you can see something. You may have to go through a period of suffering. You know, and a lot of people, it was a mistake for Joseph to tell his brothers what God told him.
Mm-hmm.
That was his bag. And you see what happened. But yet God still used it, you know. But it still ended up what God wanted him to be, for God's will to be fulfilled. So just focus on God's will being done. God's will being done, not you being perfect. Not you being perfect and not looking for perfection in other people, but having a tremendous amount of grace. Having a tremendous amount of grace for yourself and those around you. That's what I got for you.
Well, thank you right now. For Michelle, Father God, we thank you for her understanding how she stands out, how she's different, and that some of the things that you're going to reveal to her and use her to reveal to others, other people will see it. So thank you, Lord, for the boldness to be the one voice amongst, you know, other voices who are saying, hey, no, that's not right, or no, that's this, that, and the other. No, these people are lying, or this is not the truth, or this, and giving her the boldness to say what you tell her to say, despite what other people are saying. Just really standing out, and we thank you, Father God, that you're using her to unmask things. A lot of people have masks on to hide their true identity. People have masks. Situations have masks. Organizations have masks. The world wears a big old mask. And we thank you, Father God, for using her to unmask and to reveal what it really is, even though other people are still seeing the mask. But to say, hey, I know this is what you see, but this is what's behind it. This is what's really behind the mask, to reveal the smoke and the mirrors, the lies and the things that are appearing as they are but truly are not. And just giving her the boldness to do just that. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I see you, Michelle, like I like the movie The Wizard of Oz. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it. But for those who haven't, these friends go on a journey because they want something from this great, powerful wizard. Everybody talks about how amazing and powerful he is and God is power. And they go through this journey and fight and defeat things. And, I mean, they're going through it. They're pushing. They're pressing. Only to get there and discover the wizard was a fraud. It was all smoke in mirrors. And that's what a lot of people don't, like the world, this is what the world does. A lot of times the world is pressing and fighting to something that's fake. Don't even exist. Mm-hmm. Smoke and mirrors. It's a fraud. It's a scam. It's a sham. They've been hoodwinked. They've been bamboozled. They've been led astray. They've been lied to. And sometimes because they have put in all that work, they don't even want to believe it's a lie, even when you tell them it's a lie. Imagine that, going through the yellow brick road, fighting flying monkeys and witches, and getting there only find out the wizard was a whole man. He wasn't a wizard after all. It was just smoke and mirrors. And you're like, wait a minute, I did all that for nothing? That's how people feel. And God's going to use you to reveal the wizards, what they really are. They got no power, just a man. And to tell what's behind the mask. See, sometimes the mask will fall off and people say, oh, I can see it. But sometimes the mask will stay on, but you can see what's behind it. And you will have to tell them, look, I know what you see, but this is what's real. This is what's behind that mask. You have to just trust me and take my word for what is really behind that mask. Because by the time that mask drops off, if you get in too deep, it's going to be too late for you to make a decision, for you to change your mind. And for you to have that type of call, it takes a lot of boldness. Because everybody's seeing the same thing. They're going to say, oh, well, she's crazy. I don't see that. But you can see what's behind the mask. And to be bold to say, no, I don't care what you see. And I know what you see. But this is what's true. It's just like with Noah building that ark, ain't a drop of water to be found, but he's still building it and being ridiculed and looking crazy and all that until he didn't look crazy. And so you have to be bold. It's not, you have to not even care what people think, because you know it's real. Because even like I keep up with like science news and all that kind of stuff, and there's been some reports about some health problems that certain age groups have been experiencing with one of the vaccines. And I remember last year, a group of women, local women, were complaining about some of the things that they're now saying, oh yeah, that is a possible potential problem. They were complaining about it last year and saying, hey, this particular one is causing these type of issues. And they said nobody believed them. But they stood their ground. They were advocating for it and saying, hey, people need to be made aware that this can happen as a result of this particular vaccine. Because they saw past the smoke screen and mirrors, and they know it's being promoted as safe and this and the other, and they're like, no, this can happen, and now it's coming out that, oh yeah, that can happen. So they had to look like nutbag conspiracy theorists until the truth came out. And so sometimes that's what it's going to be for you, where you're looking like, okay, what is she talking about? I don't see that. But it doesn't matter, because truth is what it is. It's always going to reveal itself. Sometimes it takes longer than others, but the truth always comes out. A lie can only stay afloat for so long. But it's literally like it doesn't have a foundation. It's like quicksand. It's going to eventually sink. And so you have to just be bold in what God tells you to say, even when nobody else sees it. Sometimes you are the lone one. You're the lone ranger. You're the only one that can see it. Sometimes even other believers won't see it. But God gets the glory, because then when the truth comes out, they'll say, how did you know? Because there was no evidence of what you were saying, because this is what was being presented. And you'll say, God told me. And it will build people's faith. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I received it. Praise God. Glory to God.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You want to...
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
I was just saying I received that word. Amen.
Amen. That's good. You got anything in particular you want us to pray for?
No, not tonight. I know you have a lot of callers, so I'm going to just let y'all move along. God bless you, and thank y'all. Y'all continue
God
to be
bless
blessed.
You. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, too. That was good. Next caller, 682-738. Who are we speaking to?
Hello, this is LaShawn from Texas.
Hey, LaShawn, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I was putting some food in my mouth, a great word, and word was for me, too.
Uh-oh. Let's pray. Let's pray. Amen. 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 Come on, somebody. Lord, we thank you for LaShawn tonight, Father God. We thank you for reputation. Your reputation is like you're representing like how God is moving in like how he wants to move in certain situations, certain areas, like around certain people, just like how you don't move the same way like you do with your kids versus, your best friend, or your mother and your brother, you love them both, but you don't operate like the same way with them. There are certain things that, conversation you have with your mother, you wouldn't have with your brother. Conversation you have with your spouse, you wouldn't have with your kids, type things. And it's like you build a reputation, a rapport with those individuals to where they know how you move. And so based on how you move with them, you've taught them how to treat you and how to handle and how to deal with you. And I believe that's what God is showing you in this time and going to use you for, is really going to use you to teach people how to treat him. How to treat them. They treat the Lord so bad. And I'm talking about us as believers. We don't want to believe them. That's a slap in the face. Lord, I believe you. I want everything from you. I know you can, Lord. I know you will. I know you're able. But yet still, I don't believe for it, though. I ain't doing what you tell me to do. I don't know why it ain't working. But that's the reputation that God is going to use you to break, that people think that once they get with God, they follow Jesus, it's just this bad, miserable life and this, that, and other. No, it's about being happy regardless of what you got. It don't matter. If you got two teeth in your head, the love of God is real. And his mercy endures forever. Like, you can have the best veneers in your mouth. $50,000 worth of work in your mouth, but empty on the inside. Dark on the inside. Bad reputation. But God's definitely going to use you to teach people how to treat him. And I truly believe that's why God has called you for a certain group of people. Like those considered less fortunate or what have you. But it's just only less fortunate in the eyes of man. That's it. But God's going to show you how to exactly what to do, how to exactly connect the dots and give you clear direction on your next steps. And that's what I get.
And we thank you right now. For LaShawn, Father God, we thank you for the vindication. I see the Lord vindicating you and restoring your name, because people will really try to undermine your name And we know that there's power in names. People say, well, I don't care, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt. They will. Names are important. Words are important. We know that there's power in the name of Jesus, right? So names carry power. And the enemy will always try to weaken your name and the effect of your name. It's like how the world, you say they try to use Jesus as a bad word or as a way, an expression. Why? To try to weaken the name of Jesus so that it's not seen as powerful, mm-hmm. so that it's not properly used. Because if you think a word is not a powerful word, you're not going to use it when you need power. So the enemy is always trying to weaken the name of Jesus. And I see the enemy's been trying to weaken your name, but I see God restoring your name and vindicating you, vindicating your name. So, Lord, we just thank you for the vindication. We thank you, Father God, that she doesn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to defend herself. She doesn't have to go on a campaign trail. She doesn't have to produce evidence and say, oh, no, that's not true. No, all she got to do is let you do what you do. You will vindicate her name. You will restore her name. You and you alone. And give her the peace to know that. Yes. And to trust that you will restore and vindicate.
Hallelujah.
So we thank you for it. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go to our next person here.
Mr.
Because sometimes we be feeling the need to defend. They said it's about me. That's not true. You don't have to defend that. Let the Lord take care of it because he will. 225-270, who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hello, hi. Who are we speaking with?
Jacqueline?
Jacqueline?
Hey, Jacqueline, yes. How you doing?
All right.
That's good. Let's pray for you.
All right.
All right. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you.
Hallelujah.
Jacqueline. Lord, we thank you for money. We thank you. I ain't never said that. We thank you. I just saw like you just being mesmerized. I just see the blessings of true blessings of God. Like you're already blessed. We all are blessed. But I really see like blessings in a particular area of your life that's going to like mesmerize you, like have you like gone, all because of how good he is. It's done. Like God really wants your attention in a particular area. He really wants you to believe him. More than what you have been.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, he really wants you to believe him more than what you have been. Because it's levels to our faith. Jacqueline, mm-hmm. we can have knowledge of things, but having the wisdom of God on what to do with that knowledge is the other side of that, you know, because it's always more to it. There's more to it, and God is telling you that it's more to him. There's more to them than what you have known and what has worked. There's more that he wants to get you, because God, there's no limit. I mean, you can't put a limit on how God can do. It's all about, can you believe it or not?
Amen.
So I really hear God saying, but believe him for what you feel is impossible.
Amen. Amen.
Believe him what you think is impossible. Because God is the one that makes all things possible. He said all
Amen.
Things are go to them that what? Believe.
Believe.
Believe. Be. leave. Be with Amen. Him and leave the doubt alone.
Amen.
Be with God. Be with God. Trust the word of God. Trust the word of God. Like never before. Like never before.
Yeah.
And, I see a few challenges ahead that are coming, but the challenges are only what you are going to make them be. They're only going to be as big as you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now for Jacqueline, Father God. We thank you for the power to overcome. Because to overcome takes power, takes energy to overcome.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father God, for the power to overcome and to see situations for what they really are. Randy's been preaching a lot on Joseph. And I've noticed for myself that I've noticed a lot of teachers, preachers, evangelists, different men and women of God really preaching on the story of Joseph. Why? Because the story of Joseph is the ultimate story of overcoming and being tenacious and being persistent and holding on to faith, because Joseph was like in the worst possible situation. Like he went from being the beloved son, right? Everybody knew he was his daddy's favorite. This was not like, you know, a secret. He was treated differently. His dad taught him different things. He didn't have to put his hand to the plow like his brothers did. His mama made him a fancy coat. Like he felt favored of his father. He felt the favor of his father. His father pumping him up and telling him he's going to be somebody. Then he's getting these dreams where he's just the man. So imagine how he felt to feel favored, to feel like God has a big call in your life. And then all of a sudden you were the pig. At the hand of people that you love. Then when you get out the pit, you sold into slavery. Then you sold into slavery, and then you get into a house, and it seems like, okay, I do got the favor, only to be lied on, and now you're in prison. Forgot about, left to discard and rot away your life. I can't imagine how he felt, but he had the power to overcome. That takes power, it takes energy. He had every reason to wallow. And he should have wrote the book of Lamentations. He had every reason to. Because he went from feeling favored by his father, blessed because he getting special treatment, to being discarded and left to rot. Don't have the power to do nothing in a prison except for to interpret dreams of some of the other people. And then when he did it, they seemingly forgot about him. But he had to use energy and power to overcome, only to be second in command, to save, to restore, even to restore. Because the reason why the chain of events that led him to be in that position started with the betrayal. And even when God put him in his rightful place, he even restored that.
Amen.
And this is what God is teaching us in this hour as a body about having the power to overcome, because the reward is something beyond what you can even imagine. And this is the power that God has placed in you, the power to overcome. If you would just overcome, right? Overcome. What you're going to get, the reward for overcoming is beyond what you can even think of. Because Joseph, I know he probably was like, okay, I got that dream all wrong. I just don't know what that means. I'm just going to leave that alone because I don't know what it means. Only to be second in command, right under the Pharaoh. He didn't have no type of blood relation to the Pharaoh to be right under him. But yet there he stood, not because of blood of in his veins, but because of the blood of Christ. Even though Christ had not yet manifested the earth, but still we still see the example of that. Joseph even was, if we get into it, Joseph was even like gave the story even of Jesus in a sense. Betrayed, come on. Judas betrayed Jesus. Jesus died, went into a pit, only to come up and rise into power. And that's for Joseph. Joseph was betrayed, went to a pit, only to rise up and come into power. So the power to overcome. The power. That's what you need, the power to just overcome. Because the situation is, situations are what they are. But if you could just overcome them and not let them overcome you, the other side is going to be what you can't even imagine. Sometimes we'd be praying, Lord, get me out of here. Then we need to just be saying, give me the power to overcome it.
Amen.
Let me just bide my time because you're doing something. There's a reason. You didn't forget about me. You didn't forsake me. So let me learn what I need to learn and gain what I need to gain. And let what needs to be in me, let it come in me. What needs to come out of me, let it come out of me. Whatever it takes, but help me to overcome so I can get to where I'm going. And that's the power that's in you. And I see God increasing that power to overcome so that you can get to where you're going. You're already going there. Mm-hmm. Joseph was already going to the palace. He was already going there. He just needed the power to overcome the situation that was going to shape, mold, and get him ready to be there in the position that he was, that was already designed for him. It was already created for him when he was born. God already knew he was going to be second in command. God already knew he was going to save Egypt, save his family. He already knew those things. It wasn't just happening in real time and God was trying to scramble together and figure it out. It was already destined. Where you're going is already destined. You're already on the path.
Amen.
God is already there. You trying to catch up to where God is already at, waiting for you.
Amen.
Hear what you now and waiting for you then. But you just tap into your power to overcome. That's it. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the power that you've given Jacqueline to overcome. We thank you for the faith you've given her to believe for what you've already prepared for her. The path
Amen.
That you've already paved out for her.
Amen.
The destiny that's already been destined for her. And help her to cling on to that, to cling on to hope. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Man. Amen.
Did you have anything in particular you wanted us to pray for you about?
No, I don't have anything in particular.
All right. Well, we thank you for calling in. God
prayer.
Bless you. Thank
God
you.
Bless you, too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Next caller here is 504-282. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, it's Nicole from New Orleans.
Hey, Nicole. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you all?
Great. Great. Yeah. You do not live in New Orleans. You live in New Orleans.
You're in New Orleans.
Down in New Orleans, bitch.
Yeah, I'm not originally from New Orleans.
Yeah.
I've just been here for 3 years. You can tell, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because them New Orleans and New Orleans accents are sick. I can hear him a mile
right.
away.
You got a little bit three year sound. I hear a little bit, but I can tell you ain't come from that soul. I can tell.
Yeah, it creeps up on you the third year of starting to say funny stuff.
Yeah, you pick up the language. Like, I thought I would never say y'all. I used to hate that term. I say it probably daily now. Like, true Texas.
Yeah,
I'll be like, y'all something. I, sometimes I even tell myself, like, did I really just say y'all? But
y'all.
You can't listen and not say y'all. Like, it just don't work like that.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All things work together for the good of them that are called according to his purpose. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power within us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for Nicole tonight. The Lord had me do that. He wants you to get, like, to really get in the habit of knowing the scripture. Not just reading it, but like knowing it and like making it a part of your conversation daily with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
With yourself, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are some hidden things that you will uncover and open up just by verbally speaking the word daily, just by yourself. I do it every day. Every day. A lot of the times I get a chance to be by myself is when I'm driving. I take me a ride. I take some time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my time. And not only just my time, that's me and the Lord's time, because he said he'll never leave no person. So I know he right here. He right here with me all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what his word says. I believe that. So you would never be alone. Sometimes we might feel a little lonely. But even that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is always with us. There is no love or nobody in the earth that can compare, that can come close to the love of the Lord, the love that he has for us. Nobody. You can't love yourself enough. Oh, man. But I just thank God for opening like the portals of your mind. I feel like the portals of your mind just being open, where God is going to download and pour into you things to speak, like your tongue, which what you're saying is going to manifest. So that's why you really have to be cautious what you're saying, Nicole, because you have a gift. God is giving you a gift to speak. He's giving you a gift, and not only that, when you speak, those things happen. So I'm sensing that that's a prophetic gift that you have. Yeah, yeah. And so it's apparent that you build your faith, and you build your faith by speaking the word of God just every day to yourself, just by yourself. By yourself, get whatever God tells you. A lot of times, I just would either just get on my app, scroll, do a little Rolodex scroll, wherever I stop, or something like that, I read. But a lot of the times, God would give me a particular book to go into, and he'll give me a verse, a chapter and verse, you know. And I start there, and then next thing you know, I might end up reading something else. You know, and a lot of the times I don't be knowing what these scriptures are when he gives them to me. But when I get there, I be like, I done read that before. And he say, read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Read it this time. Read it in the state of mind that you're in now, who you are now. Because as we read the scriptures, we begin to peel back the layers of it. As we grow, as we develop, when we continue to read those scriptures, we begin to open up those different chambers of the Word of God. And God speaks to us through His Word also. So it's imperative that you do that, and I see that when you do that, you're gonna put yourself in a like you're already protected, but it's like, man, really getting like the presidential security, the king security, like you're gonna glow up, as they say. it's your time. Yeah, it's your time, but it's up to you.
Amen.
Like, hear what the Spirit of God says right now. He said it is your time. But it's like the things that's coming along with when you're in your season and in your time, it's still up to you whether you receive and acknowledge that it's your time. You got to believe that it's your time. You got to act like it's your time. You have to know that it's your time. You got to move like it's your time. You got to think like it's your time. You got to speak like it's your time.
Mm-hmm.
You walk past a stranger and they're like, oh, it's her time. Like, you should give a fragrance of it's my time.
Mm-hmm.
Where people know you ain't playing. Because when it's your time and people know it's your time, they very cautious about wasting your time.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because you ain't got time. You ain't got time to entertain that other stuff when you know it's your time.
Amen.
When you headed somewhere, you got an agenda. You got your items tagged out. You going through your bullet points. You making your checks because it's your time.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to tell yourself that every day, it's my time. Mm-hmm. Anybody mm-hmm. else listening right now? And I speak this over the body of Christ right now and everybody on the sound of my voice. It's our time.
It's our time.
It's our time. It's our time. Begin to walk and begin to live like God had preordained and predestined for us to live here in this earth. It's time for us to present heaven to this earth. It's our time to really believe what the Word of God says. If He says, "Be it done on earth as it is in heaven." How that gonna get done? Unless these called folks doing this to believe it and to go do what He says do. It's our time. It's our time. We just thank God for it being your time. We just thank God for your strength and your obedience to walk in that authority. Walk in that authority in pure humility. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I got for you.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for the understanding that you have your hand in every area of her life, that there's no area that's untouched, that you're leaving no stone unturned. Even when it feels like, where it doesn't feel like you're there. And we thank you, Father God, that she has the knowledge of that and the faith to believe that, that even in the areas that are messy and unpleasant, that you're there. That you're there, that your hand is in it, and to just allow you time to show what you're doing, right? But it's like a cake baking. It's ugly at first. It's liquid, and then it turns mushy to where if you take it out early, it don't taste good because it's half mushy and half solid. But if you just allow it the time, then it turns into something that everybody wants. Now they want to eat it. Now they want a taste of, ooh, that's delicious. But when it's in that in-between, it's ugly and mushy, and don't nobody want to eat that. But it's getting to something that everybody wants to eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming appetizing. Sometimes the situation ain't appetizing. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to partake. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want it in my face. Why is it around me? I don't want that. But if you just give it time, it will become appetizing. Help her to see that, Father God, in every area, the messy areas. Give it time to see your hand, to see what you have done. Give her the faith to believe and to know that you have left no stone unturned. Every area has been touched by your hand in her life. Every area. It just needs time. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have no idea how much I needed that word. Y'all got me together. When I say together, together, okay? As they say, edges snatched. Y'all got me together with that. With that word, oh my God, my goodness, both of you. So God bless you for that word. I take it, I receive it, and I will take that as marching orders. And amen. I will do as you say.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. Yes. Let them snatch the edges and get you together.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Whoa, the same Lord.
Oh, no, you're going to dance.
Don't give me some.
Oh, my goodness.
Right,
I do have to say this.
Go ahead. Uh-oh, did it drop? I think everything dropped.
Yeah, uh-huh. Cut everything off.
Oh, that stinks. I want to hear what she had to say. Well, you guys call back in at...
Well, it's dropping.
Oh, yeah, I think it just completely dropped.
Okay.